1340WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Hello and welcome to the program. It's been a while, but we are back after Wednesday's program with Ed Marlowe. We took off, headed to the two-game road trip. The Racers did well at Jacksonville State. Shot 72% from three-point range, but they're called averages for a reason, I guess, because the ball didn't fall as kindly the following night as the Racers did not get it done in losing to Tennessee Tech. Really tough night at the office for the Racers, to be honest about that, 71-67. Just overall, couldn't get anyone to shoot it real well. The exception was Bryce Jones. He hit 6 of 13 overall, 5 of 9 from three range, but the Racers' two leading scorers combined to go 11 for 38 and 3 of 18 from three-point range. Jonathan Stark, 8 of 23, 1 of 9. Terrell Miller, 3 of 15, 2 for 9. Stark still had 21 points, made all four of his free throws, as did Miller make all four of his free throws. And Miller found other ways to help. He had 13 rebounds, and that led the Racers in that category. G. McGee also, besides not shooting it well, he was 0 for 4 overall, missed his only 2 3-point shots. But McGee as well made all four of his free throws and chipped in with 9 rebounds. So G. did a really good job from that standpoint, but G had 5 turnovers. Terrell Miller had 3. The Racers with 13 turnovers. And it's one thing when you make them, but another thing when the other team's able to turn that into points. And Tech turned those 13 turnovers into 15 points. And the Racers able to force 12 Tech turnovers, but only 11 points off of those. Just a night when the Racers didn't defend as well as Tech did. And Tech 44% from the field, 38% from three-point range, and they made a little better than they normally do at the charity stripe, hitting 79%. Murray did win the battle of the boards, 40-37. They did a good job getting offensive rebounds. They had 15 of them, but remember, that's in 41 chances. So you're going to get a bunch of offensive rebounds when you miss a lot of shots, and the Racers certainly did. They missed 41, made 22 in the contest. Meanwhile, Tennessee Tech, and, you know, it's not like this is an untalented team. Check the schedule. They've played some really difficult games, and the schedule sort of showed that they were rough at times, but they ended up 5-11 in non-conference play. Excuse me, make that 4-11. But they won 3 straight out of the gates in OVC play, and so they're sitting pretty. They're 3-0, only 1 of 2 unbeatens. They're tied for Belmont for the OVC East lead. And the standings look like this there in the East. They have those two teams, Jacksonville State 3-1, Tennessee State and Morehead State 2-1. The only team with a losing record is Eastern Kentucky with 1-2. That's in the East. Now in the West, the only team with a winning record, well, it's Murray State. So despite the shortfall on Saturday, the Racers are still in first place in the West. Eastern Illinois in second in a tie with Southeast Missouri at 1-2. So it gives you an idea of just how important Thursday's game is. It could have been even more important for Eastern Illinois had the Racers won. It would have been in a major hole. Couldn't really afford to fall even 3 games back. That would be difficult. But as it stands, Eastern Illinois now has a chance to tie the Racers Thursday. But on the other side of that, the Racers with a chance to take a 2-game lead on Eastern Illinois as they head off on this road trip. So Eastern Illinois and SEMO. Now, SEMO will either jump ahead of Eastern Illinois or go behind them on Tuesday night. There is one conference game Tuesday when Southeast Missouri takes on Tech at the Show Me Center. Martin, despite their terrific start in non-conference play, it hasn't transcended into the conference games as they are 1-3. SIU Edwardsville is 0-3, and Austin Peay, the defending tournament champion from last year, 0-3. Here's the schedule for this week. Tennessee Tech at Southeast Missouri tomorrow night. It's the lone conference game. It tips at 6:30. And then Fort Valley State will play at Jacksonville State. There are 4 games on the schedule for Thursday night. And one of those, of course, the Murray State game playing at Eastern Illinois. It's a 7 o'clock game. It's a men's only game, so our airtime 6:30 on Froggy. The other games, Belmont making the Death Valley trip this week. They'll start it out at Morehead State. Tennessee State is at Eastern Kentucky, and Austin Peay, that's Murray State's travel partner. They'll be at SIU Edwardsville. And then our Saturday slate of games will go like this. It is Austin Peay at Eastern Illinois, Belmont at Eastern Kentucky, SEMO at Martin, Tennessee State at Morehead State, Murray State at Edwardsville, and Jacksonville State will play at Tennessee Tech. So still really early in the conference play, and the Racers, to be brutally honest, if they could somehow figure out a way to get both games this week, you can't be disappointed with a 4-1 start when you've had four of the games on the road, the other one against Tennessee State, the team many thought would challenge Belmont for the West Championships. It still might. You can't be disappointed in that. I mean, you're not going to win all your conference games. Look around the country and see who does. Hardly no one. It hardly ever happens. But I don't like losing them either. That's one that I know we'll look back on. Felt that's when it sort of got away. But had to play Superman, put on the cape after falling behind by so much, 21-6 with 8:56 left in the first half. The team expended a lot of energy to get back in that. Took a 5-point lead. And to me, they just looked tired at the end of the game. And I don't know if they were. Tonight, we'll talk with Matt McMahon on Hey Coach. I want to ask him about that. We didn't get to visit with him. If you were listening to the game, I've never had that happen. I've had fire alarms go off in post-game shows. It's not the first time that happened. But usually it's, somebody bumped into the fire alarm. Everything's okay, and we don't even evacuate the building. But this was not the case, as the building, one of the game managers came by as we had just gone to a break out of our second segment and said, guys, this is not a drill. We need you to evacuate the building. There is an actual emergency. So I said, give me just a second. Let me tell the audience and I'll be right out. And he was kind enough to let me do that, thankfully. If we'd seen flames, trust me, we would have bolted, no doubt. But you didn't see anything, but you could kind of get the smell of smoke, so you knew this was something that was going on that could have generated into something serious, and they had to take it seriously. I don't fault those folks at all for clearing the arena. They had to do what they had to do. They didn't need anybody to get hurt or injured just because they were stubborn and didn't want to leave for a basketball game, in a post-game show most especially. So anyhow, we were outside for about 15 or 20 minutes. They gave us the clear for the bottom of the arena only. That's where the lockers and the floor is. They said we could go ahead and get our equipment, get out, and we're able to do that. But wasn't able to talk with Matt McMahon. And that's only twice that's happened in the history of me doing games where I haven't been able to speak with the coach on the postgame show. The other time, oddly, was against Tennessee Tech at home. We lost, and Mick Cronin kept the team in the locker room so long, I was already gone from the arena for over a half hour after our postgame show. And we tried to extend it long on that one. And I remember Dave Winder tells me, Mick goes out, he goes, do I need to go to radio? He said, no, you don't need to. Didn't have the heart to tell him that radio had been gone for 30 minutes or so. But this was a different circumstance on Saturday night, but it was oddly against Tennessee Tech. All right, the Racer women, I guess a hint of things to come. The Racer men didn't shoot well. Well, the Racer women, they shot worse. Normally really good. They shot it fantastically against Jacksonville State. Really enjoyed watching them win that game, but just couldn't make a shot. Couldn't throw it in the ocean. 31% from the floor, 15% from three-point range. They lost 72-54. Jasmine Borders looked pretty good, though. 17 points. Kashawn and James had 16. And Murray, they're off. Still a pretty good season going. 10-6 overall. They're 2-1 in the OVC. Now, they have this odd game. This is Wednesday, 1 p.m. Wednesday, 1 p.m. It's one where the elementary students from the area will be invited out. But you're invited out to watch the game as well. Murray State and Eastern Illinois, 1 o'clock. It's 12:45 airtime on WNBS. Kentucky looked like Kentucky. It took a little longer than they had been taking to pull away from an SEC opponent, but they did it. 27 points from De'Aaron Fox as the Cats beat Arkansas 97-71. They're 13-2 overall, 3-0 in the SEC. Louisville Cardinals also finally picked up an ACC win as they defeated Georgia Tech 65-50 to move improved to 13-3 overall, 1-2 in the SEC. Women's scores involving Kentucky schools. Texas A&M upsetting Kentucky yesterday, 77-68. And Louisville downing Pittsburgh, 73-52. Checking our high school sports. Girls high school basketball on Sunday. Macy Turley and Alexis Burpo each scored 20 points as Murray High down Henderson County, 68-49 in the final girls game there at Mustang Madness and McCracken County High School. With that win, Murray 12-3. And they're off for a little while. They'll face Callaway County on Friday. I did hear on Travis Turner's show today they may play Ballard Memorial on Thursday. That's a game that was weathered out last week. I think they're not going to know till later, so be listening. They may be playing that one on Thursday. We'll give you the old wait and see on that one. If they do, we will likely add that to the broadcast schedule for Thursday night. Murray High boys defeated Elizabethtown 50-48 Saturday at the Bluegrass Cellular Holiday Classic at Central Hardin High School. Tiger boys 10-6. They are also off until Friday's game with Callaway County. Callaway County boys, they were supposed to play at Todd Central Saturday, but that was postponed due to weather concerns. The Lakers hoping to rebound from that 36-25 loss to Marshall County at Jeffrey Gymnasium Friday night. And the 9-6 Lakers will try to halt a three-game skid when they host Trigg County tomorrow night. Tonight, Callaway County's girls will be hosting Trigg County as they try to begin a new winning streak after they lost to Marshall County Friday night 54-30. That loss halted a 10-game Callaway County winning streak. One other note. Let's see, where was that? There we go. Two OVC football players have been named to the 2016 Athlon Sports FCS All-American team. The selections were Jacksonville State senior center Casey Dunn and Tennessee State senior defensive lineman Jessamine Dunker. Dunn and Dunker each anchoring offensive lines that performed very well this year. The All-America team selected after all postseason play was completed included 29 players from 28 schools and 11 different conferences. It's going to wrap it up for the Neil Bradley Show today. On Tuesday's show, Josh Plenos will be along. We'll talk about the results of tonight's college football championship game between Clemson and Alabama, and we'll also talk some college hoops. That's on Tuesday's Neil Bradley Show at 1340WNBS.com.